Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just come before you now, Lord. Lord, we just love spending time with you. We thank you, Lord, that you meet us just where we are. And whatever words come from you through Pastor Henry, Lord, that if that even one word touches one person's heart, this day and this message was all worth it. We want to speak your word, Lord. We want your heart to be expressed. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just come, touch our hearts. And, Lord, that we as a congregation would open our hearts to you, Lord. We praise you, we love you, we honor you, Lord, and we welcome your spirit this morning. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I have one of those apps on my phone where it pops up like the scripture of the day. And it really was fitting for this song, so I'm going to read it to you. But it says, it's in Psalms 105, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute. To Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan." Just reading through that this morning, this song has been on my heart for weeks. And I don't know if you can hear my voice, but I was so excited this week to sing this song. And then I just got so sick. And the whole week I was pretty much out, and now I'm so much better, but you can still hear I have like stuffiness. But no matter what, the same thing that God has talked to me about a few weeks ago to even now, it's the same. And it's that it doesn't matter what happens, what's going on. He's already established the covenant for us. He already died upon that cross. He already gave us the ability. You know, he gave us the ability, he gave us a gift. When God died upon the cross, when Jesus died upon the cross, he gave us the ability to commune one-on-one. It's one of the reasons why we speak so often about being independently dependent on God. Because the gift he gave you was the Holy Spirit, who allows you to be able to go straight to him and ask questions and go to him when you're in need. Go to him just to worship. Go to him just to spend time with a father, with a friend, with everything you need in one place. Yeah. And so often we forget this amazing gift he gave us. And what I just love about this song, this whole set list this week was just built completely around, God, I just thank you. I thank you in the highs. I thank you in the lows. I thank you through every moment in my life, because we are blessed. Because regardless of how down you feel, a father that's holding you in his hands, that you have the ability to say, God, regardless of what I see in front of me, I thank you because you saved me, because you're keeping me, because you're loving me through all of it. And it is something to rejoice about. It is something to get excited about. It is something for us to feel like, you know what, this is a moment I can jump. This is a moment I can get excited for, because the God who saved me gave his life that I might be able to live. And not just live a little, but live way more abundantly than we could ask or think. And church, that's such a reason to rejoice. I read something that last week that said, I worship that worship takes you from focusing on the problem to looking at the problem solver. And when I read that, it just was, this song was just like a flood. Because there's so many moments in your life that if you realize the power of worship, and it's not just the singing. Singing is a form of worship, but that time spent, that time just going after him, loving on him, saying, God, I just love you, and I thank you. Yeah. Those are all moments of worship. So I just want to encourage you, as we go back into this song, get excited about a maker who did so much for you. Enjoy the time, the communion, the ability to spend moments with him, where those moments can produce so much in our lives. They can produce direction. They can produce a lightening of the load on burdens that you may feel are way too heavy. They can produce joy in moments that you feel are so dark. Because now you're focused on the problem solver. You're Amen. Focused on the one who created this earth. And this earth all cries out for him.
Amen.
Okay, I wanted to sing a Psalms because the Lord is worthy to be praised. And that's what we're doing here today. We're praising him. This is Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the tremble and a dance. Praise him with the string instruments, the guitars, hallelujah, and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise him.
This one's Psalm 103. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my innermost praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our lives from the pits and crowns us with love and compassion, who satisfies our desires of our things, and who will bring us up in our youth just like an eagle, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Psalm 91. How powerful a verse this is for what is going on in the world today. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you in Jesus' name. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command, my favorite part, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great iron and serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. So amen in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many say amen? I don't care. I'll break into a dance. I don't care. Hallelujah. Let them laugh. Hallelujah. But oh man, let them come and ask me, "Why are you so silly?" Yeah, I'll tell you why I'm so silly. Jesus Christ died for me, washed my sins away. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, Stella mentioned it, so the Eagles. Amen. How many were the Eagles? Anybody Eagle fans here? Nobody. Thank you, Stella. Anybody? How many for the Chief Cornerstone? Hey, how about for the Chiefs? Anybody for the Chiefs? Come on, man. You guys, hey, it's okay if you talk about your football team. It's all right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's following me. It feels like something following me here. That's it. Kansas City. Come on, bro. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. You're such a good man. Hi, Linda. Oh, glory to God. I'm excited today. Hallelujah. Did you guys enjoy music today? Something about worshiping God, man. I don't know. I shouldn't ask that since I'm playing, helping them play, but praise God. I was feeling good. Still am. Amen. One of the most powerful things we can do for ourselves is to worship God. Do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know how powerful your worship is and what it will do to you? Oh, come on, man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to get along with this so we can get out of here and you guys can turn your TVs on and you can put your chicken on, put your steaks on or whatever. Come on. Hallelujah. Tacos. Come on, Billy. You having tacos? I'll be at your house. Yeah. He goes, no. And that's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Man. Calm down a little bit. All right. The title of the message today is, "What are you talking about?" Anybody ever ask that? Somebody ask you that? What are you talking about? Amen? Anybody? What are you talking about? You're talking away. You think you're making communion real good, and they'll look at you and they go, "What are you talking about?" There's a few ways to say this. What are you talking about? But I just want to ask you today, what are you talking about? What is it that's coming out of your mouth constantly? What is it that you're expressing constantly during the day? And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I believe God is trying to talk to us a little bit about who we are in Him. How many say amen to that? Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you know that? Do you know that you're washed by the blood of the Lamb? That you have access to the Father at any moment? I'm talking moments, no matter how small they are. Any moment you have access to the Father. How many of you know that? That's who you are in Christ. Do you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Do you know that? The Word of God tells you. Do you know you are an overcomer? Yeah? Anybody? 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 Come on, man. Overcomer. Do you know that you're an overcomer? What does an overcomer look like? I've asked this before in this church. What does it look like? What does an overcomer look like? Looks like Jesus. Amen? You look like Jesus. How many of you say you look like Jesus today? How many know what Jesus looked like? Now, I don't think there's very many people that know what he looked like. Amen? But when you look in the mirror, folks, I'm going to tell you something. If Christ is dwelling with you, he looks like you. Is that okay?
Amen.
The image of the living God is imprinted upon you. How many say amen? Do you know that? Hallelujah. Hey, don't let anybody ever discourage you, or don't let anything discourage you about what God has done for you. Amen? Sometimes sickness will give us a little bit of discouragement. Is that all right? Is that okay? It's not all right, but sometimes it weighs heavy on us. Is that right? But I think the best thing to do when you're sick, just jump out of bed and start singing a song like we just got there. This is how I praise the Lord. This is how I praise the Lord. My pastor used to tell me, when you don't have any food left in your cupboards, open your cupboards and put, I praise you, Lord, and close the cupboard and put, you got something in your cupboard now. How many say amen to that? Is that right? You got a praise in your cupboard. Hallelujah. Folks, it's important that we understand that God has done everything. When the Word of God says it is finished, what does it mean?
It's finished.
Galalo, it's done. Is that right? It's finished. So what are you doing? Trying to make it work. You can't make it work.
No.
Hallelujah. All you can do is say, hey, all God's asking for you what is it the Lord, what's he asking for? That you love God, right? That you love him. That you have mercy and that you walk humbly with him. Is that okay? That's about all he's asking for. He wants to walk with you. Do you understand that? He wants to walk with you, grab you by the hand and say, come. He wants to grab you and say, come on, come walk with me. Come on, walk with me. Leave your coffee. Yeah, but leave your coffee and come and walk with me. Walk with me is what he's saying to you. He says, will you walk with me? And he says, walk humbly with our God. Oh, I said, Stella doesn't know this is going to happen. Yahoo, yahoo, come on. Hallelujah. Walk humbly with your God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I say when you're humbly like that, when you're humble like that, you'll do a spin. When you're not humble, you're going to, oh, no, I can't do that. I don't want to. Stop it. Stop it. You know, like, come on. God says, just walk humbly with me. Have mercy. Have mercy. What's mercy? Oh, man. And there she is. Mercy. Have mercy. Somebody does you wrong. Have mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Yep.
That you love him. Amen. That's all he's asking. We make it too hard on ourselves. Is that okay? Is that all right? Sometimes we just make it way too hard for us, where God says, hey, rest in me. This is a day that I've made for you. Rejoice, be glad, and just rest. Let me take you where I want you. Is that okay? Ooh, come on, hallelujah. So what you talking about? Right? You know, Henry, what are you talking about? I want to take you into the Word right now. And so if you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. Verses 27 through 37. Glory to God. Can we pray? Father, thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we feel here in your house, Lord. Father, your word tells us to ask. It'll be open to us. Seek, we'll find, and knock, and it'll be open to us. Ask, and we will receive, Father. It's what your word says, Father. So, Father, this morning, we ask you, Lord, that you would open to us, open our hearts, Father, to receive from you that which you would desire to give us this morning. Father, let it strengthen us all week. Father, cause us, Father God, to draw a little closer this morning to who you are, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's kind of starting in the middle of the chapter. Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 22. The word of God says that when then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, isn't this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard that, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. What a statement. Amen? Hey, looking at what Jesus is doing, they say, hey, man, it's because he's filled with devils. That's why they listen to him. Doesn't even make sense. Does it make sense to you?
No.
No, come on. And when Jesus knew their thoughts, he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. I want you to notice what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a kingdom, is that right? And he said, every kingdom that's divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, how then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. Hallelujah. I love what he tells these guys. These Pharisees, man, you know, they're jealous. How many of you know that? Well, the reason he does that is because, you know, whatever. He's a prince of devils, so they're going to listen to him. Come on, man. He's healing people. Devils are stopping and creating havoc in people's lives. And here's Jesus healing them, and they're accusing him of being the prince of devils. Oh, man, I tell you, I wish I would have been Peter at that time. I would have been around slapping people. I don't care if you are a Pharisee. I'm going to slap you, man. You're silly. What's the matter with you? Come on, man. You know, probably that wouldn't go over big, would it? Oh. Hallelujah. Yeah, whatever. You know, I used to have a whale of a temper. How many of you guys know that? I'm pretty proud of myself. Yeah, watch this. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of myself. You know, I'm kind of happy that I don't get as fired up as I used to. If I got fired up in here, I would pitch something all the way across the building. That's just the way I was. I'd throw chairs. Oh, Rosie. I break plates, throw ashtrays because of smoking at the time. Whatever, man. I was not a good example of anything. How many say amen to that? But God has, by His Spirit, has taught me some things. I've learned some stuff. I've learned that there is an enemy out there. How many say amen? There's an enemy out there that really has no power in the kingdom of God. But yet people in the kingdom allow him to have power over them. So they express themselves in ways that they should never even be getting close to. How many say amen to that? Yep. Yeah, some of you are going, ooh, I don't want to say nothing. God, when Jesus comes into your life, the Bible says he is a savior. Is that right? He comes to save you. Save you from what? From sin? And yourself. Can I say that to you? And yourself. Is that right? He wants to remove those things that are blocking him from really communicating with you. It's pretty cool, man. I had a friend at work that told me, man, used to I also had a foul mouth. Anybody here ever have a foul mouth? Not a one of you, huh? Nobody here. I used to have a foul mouth. And he said, with you, whenever things started rolling, you generally got very loud to try to overtake somebody else with your... Has anybody ever seen anybody like that? See, I'm going to tell you something. My kids have never seen this with me. Is that right? My son, my daughter, they, you know, I didn't have kids till after we were saved. I don't think God would let me have kids till after I was saved. But once we got saved, we had kids. But some of my kids were telling about something one time, and then I was telling, and they go, what? Dad, you? Yeah, me. Yeah, me. I stole a police car one time. Do you know that? Yeah, me. Yeah, I didn't take it because I wanted it. I just thought it would be cool. And I thought I was cool. But when God came in, when Jesus came into my life, things changed immediately. How many say amen? There was a power that came to me that I never had before. I couldn't stop drinking. My problem was I'd drink. I'd spend money on drinking. I couldn't get away from it. But when Jesus came into my life, that thing, everybody say that thing. That thing, it left. 1979, and I have not, except for one taste, but I have not had anything to do with that old lifestyle. And I praise God for that. Only He can give you strength to get through those things. How many say amen to that? I never said, well, I'm 3,126 days clear. Never said that. All I said, man, I'm done. Zero again. Never again. How many say amen?
Amen.
See, when God does a work, He'll do a real work. Is that right? When He does a miracle in you, He'll do a miracle. Is that right? And they're accusing Jesus of being a prince of the devil. It's crazy. And He says, hey, if I cast out demons, who do your children cast out? They're going to be your judges if you don't watch it. You got to be careful what you say. How many say watch what? How many know you got to watch what you say? Is that okay? All right, well, here we go. So here's Jesus. He says, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Can I tell you, this world has been kind of controlled by the enemy for quite a while. Have you say amen to that? But can I tell you, when Jesus died on the cross, when He finished the work, it was done. It's now up to the people of God, the men and women of God, the ones that are filled with the Holy Ghost, the ones that walk in the Spirit, the ones that communicate with God in a daily fashion where God is communicating back to you. It's now up to the people of God to take authority over this earth. How many say amen to that? God has given us something that we just, that He said, hey, look, it's time, it's time, it's time. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time. It's time. It's time. And the word of God, what Jesus just got through saying here, where He says, how can a man, let me read it to you again. I'll look at it up there. He said, how can you enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good except you first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Is that right? See, this is our house now. How many say amen to that? The earth now is our house. Can you say amen to that? Do you believe that? Are you just focused just in your city, or are you focused just in the United States, or are you focused on the kingdom of God in the earth? If you're focused on the kingdom of God in the earth, then I'm going to tell you something. You are a strong man, and you have an ability to speak to the earth. You have an ability to speak to cities, speak to houses, and bind the strong man so that God, hallelujah, can move it. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
You see, he's left this up to us. He says, I've done it all. Now you have to exercise what I've done for you. Is that okay? So now it's up to us to begin to speak these things in the earth. This earth is redeemed. How many say amen?
Amen.
It's been redeemed. Jesus isn't going to die again for it. The earth and everything in it has been redeemed. We are redeemed. Amen? What you talking about? Is that right? Somebody's saying, what are you talking about? Jesus just got through saying, whether you believe it or not, these scriptures we're reading have a very definite impact on who we are today. We are to bind the strong man and continue to speak to it and say, man, he got no power here. You can't create havoc in marriages in our city any longer. How many say amen? You cannot create sickness, hallelujah, in our city any longer. How many say amen? Whether you see it or not, you just keep speaking it. Why? Because you're a child of God. You are a king and a priest before God. So these words are very, very today for us. Binding the strong man's house. Verse 31, he says, wherefore I say to you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven men. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Jesus says, no problem. But who speaks against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he says, that shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world nor in the world to come. That's a whole nother teaching in there. But I'll bring you to the part that says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. How many say amen to that? Think about that next time you throw a fit in Big O. The tree, the fruit is seen in the tree. How many say amen? Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. Make the fruit good. Old generation of vipers. Jesus is now talking to those Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he's looking at me. He's saying, generation of vipers. What's a viper? Snake. That bite. Amen. How many have walked, somebody bit on you? Start chewing you out about something. Yeah. Not good. Generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Here's Jesus begins to give him some real good stuff. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Is that right? Out of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So the mouth is operating. Is that right? And that mouth will bring forth what? Good things and evil things. Is that right? Yeah. Whatever you say, it's a good thing to look at or hear what you're saying and say, oh man, am I bringing forth good things or am I bringing forth evil things? Hang in there because we're going to get to some stuff that God is trying to say. I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Here's a word for you. What is an idle word? The Strong says that the idle word is an unproductive word. How many of you know when you're chewing somebody out, there's some unproductivity going on? Is that right? Yeah. When you're complaining about something, do you know that those words are being recorded? Do you know that? Ooh, wouldn't it be something where God looks at us when we get by and at the throne and he says, well, what about what you said here? How many would you like to do that with God? How about what you said here? Remember what you said to that young lady? Yeah. How about that? Remember what you said to your dad? How about that? Remember what you said to your mom? Do you remember? How about that? How would you like God to be pinpointing these things? You know, grace covers a lot of stuff. Is that right? The Bible says that grace covers a lot of sin. Love covers a lot of sin. But the word of God, Jesus just got through saying that we'll give an account for some of these things. Can I tell you that your words can really hurt people? Is that right? They can destroy and they can lift up. How many of you want to be builders? Five of you, six of you, seven of you. Okay. Hallelujah. It's not a trick question, not a trick question. How many want to build and not destroy? Hallelujah. Folks, people will actually destroy their family lives by things that they're saying. And God didn't create families to do that. He created families to build one another, to strengthen one another. Is that right? Because families go through basically the same thing. Is that right? When one member gets sick, the whole family hurts. Is that right? Families are not designed to destroy each other. Not with God. God says, no, man, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. Oh, you said it. Not good. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned, is what Jesus said. Jesus said, I didn't say that to you. Jesus said that to you, by your words. So it's very important that we watch what we say. How many say amen? Amen. You can say amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 and 19 says this. Your tongue, man, can really get you in trouble. How many of you know that? Proverbs 12, 18 and 19, this is, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is what? Health. 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 How many of you know that you might know the word of God that says, by his stripes we are healed? Why would God give us scriptures like that? Because he intends for us to put them in our mouths and use them. How do you know that? But how many of you know that no matter how much you tell somebody the words of God, the word of God, saying this is it, this is it, this is what you need, this is, think about this scripture and let God speak to you in it. How many say you can say it and say it and say it, and unless they receive it, it really does nothing. How many say amen to that? Some people think that the word of God goes out and it, because the word of God says my word will go out and it'll accomplish that way, everything that I tell it to do. But some people think that all you got to do is just spray God's word on them and they're going to do, it's going to be good. No, there, it's more like what God is saying to you to say to them. Is that more like, that's more of what it is, where God says my word that I've sent to you, that when it goes out, it will accomplish to what is done, what I desire for it to do. It won't come back void. It will bring back everything it's supposed to be back. Those are the words I want to speak. Is that okay?
Yep.
I like to speak to y'all. I enjoy it. Like I was talking to a lady this morning, and I was telling her that every time I get up here, I get butterflies like crazy. How many say amen? Sometimes I start off and I'm just as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Is that what the word is? Yeah, I'm just nervous. I just there's something within me. I cannot eat on Sunday morning. Is that okay? Which is probably good for me because I could use it to lose some weight. But I can't eat because I get so jittery, if you will. But as soon as I step up here, something happens. God just begins to take over. And what he gives me sometimes, I don't like delivering. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Sometimes I don't like delivering it, but yet I know that God has given it to me because this is one of the reasons I know that he's gotten me up here, because sometimes I just don't want to say it. But yet God will say, hey, you have to say it. Is that the time? 11:22? Yeah. Hey, we got plenty of time. Listen, I got in trouble with God one time because I would not say what he wanted me to say. And ever since that time, I learned that I will say, God, whatever you want me to say, even if he says, he told me the same thing that he told Jeremiah. He says, pay no attention to their faces. Pay no attention to what they look at you and how they look. Pay no attention to it, because I am giving you words to speak to them. See, I was telling the folks this morning, we're here to build you up. And the word that God is giving me to build you and to strengthen you is what he's given me to speak, okay? And so you've got a choice. You can listen or you don't have to listen. I'm not going to tackle you going out and say, hey, did you listen to me? I'm not going to do that to you. It's your choice. Your choice. We're here. Pastor John's here. Abe, Rebecca, we're here to build you and not hurt you. By your words you will be justified. Oh, there is that speak like the piercings of a sword, and the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be what? Established when? How long?
Forever.
Why? Is it the lip that does it? No, it's the truth. Why is the lip of truth going to be established forever? Because truth, it never fails. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is, listen, he's the head of the kingdom. How many say amen to that? Jesus is the unshakable, unchanging person. Can I say that to you? He never changes. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? He does not change. Some folks think that because you see different things in the New Testament, that doesn't change God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am glad that he does not change. Aren't you? Because if he was changeable, that means that maybe some of those things aren't right. But he's not. He is unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He's the same. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And what he tells you today, what he says to you today, the lip of truth, it's established forever. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have the opportunity with God just to step into the things that he's doing. Amen. He's already done everything. Is that okay? All you have to do is relax. How many like to relax? Does anybody not like to relax? Hallelujah. Does anybody not like their spouse to relax? Ooh, boy, you're getting us in trouble there. Hallelujah. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Sounds like it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Is that right? It's in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Love what? Death or life? Do you love death or do you love life? What do you like? What is it that you want? Life or death? How many say life? How many say dead? Oh, you're dead already. No, I'm just kidding. Life or death? I mean, God gives us these choices. The word, you know, I think it's Romans 8. It says that God, you know, what does it say? Oh, gosh. Romans 8, 2, I think it is. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Is that right? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The word of God says you got one or the other. Which one do you want? Do you want life or do you want law of sin and death? What do you want? What are you looking for? Folks, we're in a kingdom, and this kingdom is life and life more abundant. Do you understand that? Do you understand? No matter what's going on in the earth, no matter what's going on in your physical body, you are in a kingdom and you have a king that reigns over you, and his words are, they are the top. They are more than what you think, more than what you can imagine. Come on, man. Hallelujah. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many of you know you better watch what you say? Watch what you say. Is that right? How many ever told your kids that? Hey, watch your words, man. Be careful. Power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. This is that question, life or death, which one do you want? Do you want to eat the fruit from life? How many know there's a tree in the garden, and this tree produces leaves, and the Bible says that every month it gives a new leaf. What are the leaves for? For the healing of the nations is what it says. This is a tree of life. Do you get that? Do you get that these every month? Hey, you know what? Write down on a piece of paper, man. Okay, this is February. Today, God, this month, I'm looking at my big toe, whatever's going on with you. Okay? Next month, go for your ear or your eye or whatever. Every month. This is what your word says, God. Your word says those healing, those leaves for every month. They come out every month. I'm going to take it. Can you say amen? Amen? You might not understand. It might sound silly to you, but come on. Hallelujah. Spiritual things are different. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Sometimes they're more powerful than you really know what you're saying. Is that right? And if God gives you something, say, hey, God, man, I'm going to take this. These leaves are for me. You have access to the tree of life just because of what Jesus has done for you. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And we still want to walk around in death. Are you kidding me? Ooh, yeah, you guys, oh, never mind. I'll get to you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Look at this one real quick. It says, whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you watch what you say, you're going to keep your soul out of trouble. Is that right? How many know within you sometimes we get some stuff going on? But if you keep your mouth shut, how many say amen? You're going to keep that. You can keep your soul from him. See, because what God is interested in is what's going on within you. Can you say that to you? He doesn't care what you know. He cares about what's going on within you. Is that okay?
Yes.
He goes after what's going on within you. And if you watch what you say, he's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble. How many like to stay out of trouble?
Yeah.
Ah, come on, man. Watch what you say. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. This is in the King James. But I want to say something to you. How many of you know that in I think it's Numbers chapter 30. Anybody like reading the Old Testament? I love the Old Testament. You know, the first five books are called Torah. I don't go around telling people, hey, I read the Torah every day. No, I don't do that. I mean, who cares? I love the Old Testament like I love the New Testament. Because the Old Testament, Jesus even said to the Pharisees, hey, you study these things and you study these things, and they are the things that are talking about me, is what Jesus said. So we're here in Numbers. I'm not going to tell you what, but if write Numbers chapter 30, write it down. Because in Numbers chapter 30, if you read this, it talks about a father or a husband, about the authority that God has placed on that man to disconnect things that their children have said. Can you say amen? In Numbers chapter 30, he talks about that if a woman vows a vow and the father hears it, he's got the authority to shut it down right there. Boom. Then you have to talk to her. No, it's not going to happen. Now, a vow can be anything that comes out of their mouth that says, oh, you know, the girl says, hey, I'm going to go ahead and marry a guy that doesn't know God. And God says, the dad hears that and he can disconnect that. It's not good. But it says, if the father hears it and does nothing about it, then that vow will stay on her. Isn't that weird? It says if a man's wife makes a vow, says something that's out of place, and the husband hears it, if he comes against it, if he says something to it, the word that's used in the King James is disallow. He doesn't let it happen. In other words, he keeps it from growing and becoming real. Numbers chapter 30, you got to read this, okay, when you get a chance. I should have brought it up, but I feel like the Lord is asking me to do this, so I'm going to give it to you. How many ever said to yourself, man, I'm dumb? I was telling my wife this the other day. I went outside looking for my glasses. I went inside, I can't find my glasses. Guess where were they?
Right here.
Yeah. And I said, man, I'm dumb. How many ever talked about yourself? And anybody ever talk about yourself?
Yeah.
Anybody? You ever given yourself a hard time? You're so stupid. Come on, man. You should have known better than that. Sometimes we say something and our father, as a loving father, disconnects that from us. Can he say that to you? You might have said something that was not very good. And the father, which is in heaven, he says, no, that's not my kid. You know, I'm going to disconnect that thing that he just said from them. It won't happen. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, maybe you guys don't do it as much as I do. But I can get myself in trouble real fast with my mouth. How do you say amen to that? Yeah, have you heard that? Yeah, you guys talk about me? Hey, he gets himself in trouble every Sunday. I do. My wife says, why did you say that? I'll tell you guys secrets about my wife. She goes, what the heck? What's going on with you? All right, listen. Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. I want you to look at this. This is, they were talking to Jesus, and the Pharisees, it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting him, desired that he would show them a sign from heaven. Always wanting to see a sign. He answered and said to them, hey, when it's evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and lowering. You hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? You see what he's saying there? He's talking about, you know what? You'll see the weather, and you'll say, this is how it's going to be. This is how it's going to be. Can you put that in? Did I ask you to do the TPT? Look at this. One day, some of the Pharisees and those of the Jewish sect known as the Sadducees approached Jesus, insisting that he prove to them that he was the Messiah. Is that okay? We demand that you show us who you are. Dude, man, he had just healed some lepers right before this. He had just got through healing them, ten of them. Nine went to see the priest, one went away rejoicing. He had just got through doing that. And then this is when they came and asked him. You'll see that in the chapter before. But he says, one day some of the Pharisees and those of the Jewish sect known as the Sadducees approached Jesus, insisting that he prove to them that he was the Messiah. Show us a sign, a supernatural sign from heaven, they demanded. Here's a look at Jesus' response. This is the TPT. So it says, Jesus answered, you can read the signs of the weather, for you say, red sky at night, sailor's delight. You guys ever heard that? I remember, I didn't know that was in the Bible, but it's in the TV. Red sky at night, sailor's delight, and red sky in the morning, sailors take a warning. Is that right? Cool, huh? So you adapt at forecasting the weather. Can I just tell you the important words in here is you say or you forecast. These are the important words that Jesus is, that because of what we're talking about, these are important words. You're able to forecast. You're able to see the signs. And then he's asking, well, why is it that you can't see the signs today? Folks, we are living in a time where we are seeing signs that the kingdom is approaching. Do you understand that? Do you know that, I haven't lived to see, I didn't see Nazism. How many of you know Nazism? How many, some of these isms? I wrote those down in my, a few days back. Let me see. Here we go. Marxism. Anybody see Marxism in your life? I never saw Marxism. How many of you say Marxism? How do you know it was a real thing in the earth at a time? Do you know that? Marxism. Fascism. A real thing in the earth at some time. Nazism. Communism. Real thing in the earth. Amen? Imperialism. What's imperialism? It's having one guy running the, England's kind of imperialism. Imperialistic, because they've got a king and it's one guy running the show. Imperialism, capitalism. Here's an ism, you guys. Do you guys know that we are capitalists in this country? This is a capitalistic country. How many of you guys know that? Do you know that it's based on, capitalism is based on people possessing and owning businesses and having the freedom to do that? That's capitalism. But how many see today that it's gone a little tilted? It's gotten real tilted, amen? There's a lot of folks out there that know a lot about what's going on and they control prices. How many say amen? There's a lot of stuff going on out there. All these isms we're seeing, all the, capitalism, communism, all these things. Oh, and then we got the religious side. We got Buddhism, modernism, New Ageism. I don't know, is that a real thing? No. New Ageism, Catholicism, liberalism, all these isms. I believe God has allowed them to happen and be destroyed, allowed to happen and crumble. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you know why? Because the only thing that works on this planet is the kingdom of God. The only thing. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? All these things God has allowed to happen just so we can say, hey, there's nothing new under the earth. There's nothing new on the earth. What the earth needs today is the kingdom. The earth is designed only for the kingdom. Do you understand that?
Yes.
When God created the heaven and the earth, kingdom was in mind. People weren't even born yet. They weren't even on, they weren't, What's that ism where they come out of monkeys and... Yeah, evolutionaryism. Is that right? Evolution of Darwinism. Yeah, whatever, all these more isms. Is that right? And none of these things work. The only thing that works is the kingdom. And folks, when Jesus says, can you not see the signs of the time? You can see, hey, it's going to snow tomorrow. How many say? How do you know? Well, because Siri told me. Yeah? The prophetess of the world today. Jeez. Alexi. Come on, man. She told me it's going to snow tomorrow. She even told me how cold it's going to get. Come on, man. Is that right? Folks, come on, man. Jesus says you can see all these things, and yet you can't discern the time. Folks, we are in a time where what should be coming out of our mouth are the things of the kingdom. You hear me? Teach your child, hey, you want a job that's going to do good? Yeah. Honor God. Give him a tithe. Give him offerings from the money that you make. And you will see what you do, God will prosper you because you're tied to the kingdom. Terry's been talking to us about the chicken place. I don't go there myself, but Chick-fil-A. Probably the most profitable companies today. Do you know that? Wiping out McDonald's, wiping out all these other places that we know of Jack in the Box, wiping them out. Those guys are down here. Chick-fil-A's up here, and I believe they're going to keep going. Why? Because they are connected to the kingdom. They're kingdom connected. So anything connected to the kingdom, God says, I'm gonna cause it to grow. Anything that's not connected to the kingdom, guess what? God says, Jesus said this the other, I was looking at it the other day. He says, any plant that's not rooted in the kingdom will be pulled up. It's not going to survive. What's surviving today is the kingdom of God. It always has and always will. You can't change it. It is an unchangeable fact. But God has allowed man to go through all these isms, if you just so that we can say nothing works but the kingdom. How many say amen to that? Come on, man. Do you know that you're in the kingdom? Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's precepts, it's principles. If you were, it's laws. Do you know there's laws in the kingdom? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from law and seven to that. There's laws. Today is the day to be getting into the Word of God like you've never gotten in and say, God, show me what you're saying. Show me the things that are coming through the kingdom. Today's the day. Discern the times. Today's the day. Look out there. Hey, I don't watch the news. Most depressing thing, it'll zap me of my joy. How many say amen? It gets to me. I'll see certain people on there and I go, ugh. And the Lord says, nothing, pray for him. I said, okay. Yeah, okay. How many know what I mean? There's folks out there that, man, that are deliberately going after the kingdom of God and they can't stand. I mean, I shouldn't have to worry about it because I know nothing that they do is going to work. But yet, it still bugs me. How many say amen to that? Amen. Still bugs me. How many get bugged once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
I say, wait, what? What are you talking about? I'm going to go back to Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. Just look at this. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. We just got through reading this a little bit. Oh, generation of vipers, how can you be an evil? Speak good things. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said, he told them, he says, look, the kingdom's in you. How many say amen to that? It's important that you begin to speak the things that are within you. Jesus told Nicodemus, look, hey, Nico, is that what he says? They call him that in Chosen, huh? His wife calls him Nico. It's Nicodemus. He says, hey, Nico, I don't know how. But anyway, he says, hey, man. Jesus told him this, we speak what we know and you won't receive our witness. You know what I'm saying? Folks, sometimes you speak what you know out there and they won't receive it. It's okay, but just keep speaking it. It's kingdom words. The Holy Spirit has an ability to take those words and get to them when they're in a place where they're nice and quiet or wherever. The words that you spoke to them can go to them. But you got to speak what you know. Don't try to speak what you don't know. A lot of people talking about, well, Jesus is coming before the, what do they call it? Pre-trib, post-trib, anti-trib. I don't know what the heck. I don't know all those. I don't know. Hey, you don't know. The Word of God, Jesus even tells us we don't know. So why are you even talking about it? Talk what you know. Speak about what you know. And you watch. God will open things up. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure. How many know the kingdom is a treasure? You will speak about what you treasure. Is that right? Yep. Marianne, I like talking about my truck. The Cardinals football team. I don't know a lot about them. My grandson spins circles around me and then he knows stuff about that. But what you treasure, you're going to speak. Do you understand that? How many of you understand that what you treasure, you're going to speak? You're going to talk about it. You're going to have fun talking about it. Is that right? I like talking about the kingdom of God. A lot of people say, he's a pastor, so don't get him started. How many say amen? Because once he gets started, can't shut him up. And that's about the way it is. Once I get started, it's real hard for me to shut up. Like right now, you're probably thinking, he ought to shut up now. Is that right? It's getting late. Man, I got a few minutes left. Is that okay? But what you treasure, you're going to speak about. Do you treasure the kingdom? Do you treasure the Lord and what he's done for you? Are those treasures in your heart? Are they? You know how you'll know? Listen to yourself. Listen to the things that come out of your mouth. You'll find out what your treasure is. Is that okay? I want you to look at Psalm 22, verse 27 through 31. I like this scripture, man. I see so much in this scripture. I see end times in this scripture. You might not see it, but I see it. But it says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. What I just got through telling you about all these isms, all these things that the people have tried, they're actually, God has created them to crumble because they're not connected to the kingdom. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before him. Folks, this thing's coming. We're coming to an end. How many say amen to that? We're getting close, folks. And it's time that the body of Christ begin to speak the things of the kingdom in the earth. Folks, that's what Jesus did. If you don't believe me, look in the scriptures. You're going to find him speaking kingdom more times than on most things. He's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is before you. Jesus said it all the time. He talked about the kingdom. And here it is. All the kindreds of the nations shall worship before him, for the kingdom is the Lord's. Amen?
Amen.
How many say amen to that?
Amen.
How many know that the kingdom is God's?
Yep.
The kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor. How do you like that? Among the nations. He governs. Not just America. Not just U.S. Not just Israel. Not just... You know that Judaism is one of those isms? It's all the kingdom. And it says, and they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. How many of y'all don't like that word? Yeah, I'm a little heavy myself right now. But those that be fat, what's he talking about fat? He's not talking about us gaining the weight. He's talking about us being fed well. How many say amen to that? They that be fed well upon the earth shall eat and worship, and they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. Is that true? Can anybody keep alive your own soul? You cannot. The only one that can keep your soul alive is who?
God.
Jesus. That's why you become born again. Your soul gets born again. Now death has no part of you. Oh, too much info, huh? Yeah, isn't that right, Steve? Isn't that too much info? You can't keep your soul alive. Nobody can, but the Holy Spirit comes in. Now guess what? Your soul will live forever. Because your old soul passed away. Too much info. But anyway, they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship, and all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. None can keep alive his own soul. And here's a seed. Watch this. A seed shall serve him. And it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Folks, a generation is coming. There is a generation that comes from the seed. How many of you know who the seed is? What's his name? Jesus. A seed will serve him. And then it says, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. There is a generation coming, and you're part of it. You are in this generation of the seed that lives forever. Do you know that? It says, they shall come, declare his righteousness to a people that shall be born, that he has done this. I like what the NIV says on this scripture here, right at the end where it says he has done this. It says that the work is finished. He's done it. He's already done it. Do you understand? He saw you from the beginning of time, and he knows you would be sitting here in this house today, and you would be hearing the message today. Do you know that everything that's going on in your life, he sees it, he knows about it, nothing's surprising him, and all you got to do is just trust him, and he will bring you to where he wants you to go. Do you know that? Are you confident that God knows you better than you know yourself? How many hair are you on your head? Tell me. John? You got more along the sides than a lot. I mean, how many hairs do you know? You got no idea. And he says he knows every hair on your head. He knows when you lose one. We are in a kingdom, folks. And God is saying, know the times. Look at the times. It's time to place the kingdom on the end of your tongue. Begin to speak these things. Hey, who cares if they don't believe you? It's the Holy Spirit that delivers in any way. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Just obey him. Let him take you. Watch your mouth. Amen? Build and don't destroy. Strengthen and don't hurt. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, hey, don't hurt me. Tell him, build me up. Give me something good. Tell me something good. Yeah, right? Tell me something good. Let me hear something good. Folks, you might not like, this message might be a little bit different today, but I'm going to tell you something. I'm giving you something good. The Holy Spirit has given me something. He's saying, look, know the times. It's time that you begin to place these kingdom principles within your heart and let them flow out. Is that okay? Can you stand up? I'm going to have you stand. Brother Abe, glory to God. I want to thank you guys for coming. Go Eagles. Go Chiefs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Okay. Man. Yeah, the tongue, power of life and death, huh? Yeah, I have a friend at work. He'd tell me a lot of times. He's like, man, they better watch out. I'm a race car in the red. I don't know if you know about race cars in the red, but if they stay in the red, that engine blows up. So, Book of James tells us, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. And so many times we want to speak, you know? We got to be slow to speak. Slow. Book of James chapter 3 talks about taming the tongue. How such a small thing can have such an effect. Talks about how boats are steered by a rudder, which is a small thing. A forest fire starts with a spark. And it's so easy to lose control of our tongues. So easy. Because we just hear something, we want to react, right? But it's more important we use that tongue to build up and encourage. You know, the Bible says a lot about, you know, the times where we misuse things. Like 1 Samuel talks about how they had the Ark of the Covenant. They're like, you know what? We got the Ark. Let's go to war. Right? We have God with us. So they took the Ark and they lost it to the Philistines because God didn't tell them to go and do that. You know, we got to make sure that when we use the word of God, we're not using it to fight people for our gain, for what we want, for what we think is right, but we should fight for what God thinks is right. And a lot of times we have to say that in a loving way, which is a hard thing to do because we have to be intentional about it. We have to take our time. We have to let go of our ego. We have to be humble. We have to be patient. Let me just encourage you to take that time to find out what it is you need to do to just speak only what God wants you to speak, to listen for the Holy Spirit, because it will change your life. If you would, bow your heads with me, and let's pray. Lord, help us to just speak blessing, speak love over people. And then when we do have to correct, we do it out of love. Lord, when we speak the truth, we're not using it as something to attack, but we're using it as something just to declare your glory, your power, your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Go Chiefs. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.